22. We welcome you to our service here in Western New York. We're in Boston, which is about 30 miles or 30 minutes south of the city of Buffalo. If you're listening on the internet, watching, hope you'll come and visit us sometime. We'd love to meet you and have you for the service. If you come between December and March, there's a dinner every Lord's Day after the morning service and an afternoon service at 1:30 to replace the regularly scheduled service that we're having like right now, which starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. We're in Psalms, in Psalm 42 tonight. Let us hear the word of the Lord. This is called Book 2. The first section of Psalms focused on the name Jehovah in the Psalms. And you notice that Book 2, so to speak, there are five sections of Psalms in Psalms. Focuses on the name Elohim, or God. As the hart, or the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, or the salvation of his face, or his presence. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts, or cataracts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And you notice that Psalm 43 is really a companion psalm to 42 with the last expression. So let me just read Psalm 43, which is a vindication, a deliverance from what he sought in the previous psalm. Judge me, O God. And only a believer can have the confidence to pray that. Without Christ, to cry for the Lord to judge us is to condemn us. But isn't it a tremendous confidence that in Christ we can say, Lord, judge me, and know that he will purge us and he will purify us. And it is not a terrible thing to be judged by the Lord as a Christian. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance, or the salvation of my face, and my God. So he sought the help, he sought the face of God, that he might have the health of his own face. What a blessing it is to see the face of God by faith. To behold the Lord is the way in which your own soul can be revived and made to live. Obviously, as we read these Psalms, the theme is an intense longing for God, longing for the Lord, yearning for the Lord. And I would like us to focus on the very first verse of the first or the 42nd Psalm, the first of the companion Psalms here. And the title that I gave this message is Thirst, Christian, Thirst. Do you thirst for the Lord? One of the Beatitudes, you remember, is blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness is to please God, to be accepted by the Lord in Christ. And really, it is a synonym for our state with God, or really our fellowship with God. He's not just saying, blessed are they that hunger for a life that's acceptable to God, but certainly they're hungry and thirsting for a relationship with God, a spiritual relationship with God. So really, that beatitude reduces down to hungering and thirsting for the Lord. You remember what the Lord said to pray, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so, the righteousness is not just our righteousness in Christ, but it's the righteousness of God. Not only that life that pleases God, but a relationship with the Lord where we're close to Him, where we are sensing His presence and seeking to please Him. Have you ever been thirsty? You ever been hungry? These are felt needs. Now, I think we would all say that every day we do get hungry naturally and thirsty in a natural sense. But may I say, as Christians, if you have a new nature, you will become hungry and thirsty for the Lord. It's true that we can dull these senses by seeking to find satisfaction in other things, but as we are made in His image, there is eternity that God has set in our heart that we will not be able to fulfill or fill in us except by the eternal God. To be thirsty means to suffer from lack. Have we ever thirsted for God? We have thirsted for water. We've hungered for food. We have lacked certain things in our lives that we earnestly seek after. But let me honestly ask, have we ever thirsted for God? We should. And I do think that every Christian has a thirst for God, but is it a kind of thirst that the psalmist speaks of? The psalmist said in Psalm 42, it's for the sons of Korah, but it sounds so close to what David would say in his psalms, doesn't it? But it wasn't David. It doesn't say that it's a psalm of David. David was a man after God's own heart, but he didn't have a monopoly on the Lord. Here's another person writing who had a similar longing. It's a contemplation, literally, which is the word maskil, a contemplation for the sons of Korah. In other words, it's something to think about. It's a matter for consideration. It's a truth that we should desire to experience. It's an important matter, in other words. What is that matter? I think it's contained in verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And really, that's the theme. This man has experienced a soul thirst for God. And though he is seeking to fulfill it, to satisfy it in the following words, yet let's stop there and thank God that he's at this point. How many people don't thirst after God? God is not in all their thoughts. Yet he is the supreme being. He's the being that satisfies the soul of every human being. And yet people live and die without him. What a tragedy to never know about the living God and the satisfaction that he brings to the soul, to the sinful soul. We should envy someone who says, my soul panteth after thee. How many people have you met who have this kind of heartbeat for God? I want to be one who has a heartbeat for the Lord. I have known it in times past, but I have also known the absence of it. Taking the Lord's presence for granted, his blessings, his promises. I want to motivate us to thirst after God. For anything less, may I say, is idolatry, apathy, or indicative of depravity that has not been changed or reversed. For if we don't thirst after God and we thirst after other things, are these not idols in our lives, in our hearts? If we're not thirsting after God, are we not apathetic? Are we not having just a satisfaction for the status quo of our religion? Apathy is a lack of zeal, a lack of hunger and thirst. And isn't it an insult to the divine being to not have a zeal for the one who is the living and true God, the creator of the universe, the savior of the soul? I think there are some simple thoughts in this text. We find the cause of thirst. Thirst has to have a cause. You say, well, in the physical light, it's natural. If you just let time pass, the body is going to begin to crave. Well, there's a similarity in the spiritual realm that if you let time pass, that your soul, in a sense, is going to crave, but it's not exactly parallel because there seem to be so many other things in this world that take up our time and our effort and our attention that we can almost fill the lack and seem to fill the lack with other things, but we really, at the end of the day, find, you know, it's kind of like we have stuffed our hungry bellies with cotton candy and just taken cans of soda and to try to fulfill our body's lack for water. And really, we're sick instead of healthy. Though we may have filled the lack of hunger and thirst in a sense, we have been sickened by that filling. And isn't it so sometimes in the Christian life, we think we're filling in the lack of our soul? Maybe we've read a good book, or we've done a good deed, But yet, at the end of the day, we've really not sought God. The Lord hasn't filled our void. It may have been religion. It may have been something good, good thoughts. But the Lord really is still distant from us. Why does the deer thirst? Is it just saying the deer is panting because of it's naturally thirsty? Was there a drought? Was it a hot day? Was it sick? Was it dying? Oh, I'm sure that a deer would pant for those reasons. But I think that the reason is given as it returns to the experience of the psalmist in verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? In other words, now he's referring to someone who's persecuting him. Is it a heathen or is it an unspiritual or unconverted Jew? We don't know who the persecutor is, but it's someone who's basically saying, where is your God? Whether he's noticing his depression and he's saying, if there was a God, why are you depressed? Or he's had a season of silence from his God. Well, if your God was real, he wouldn't be silent to you. Or someone who's worshiping another God and saying, look, everything is going well in our lives. Your soul is anxious. Your soul is worried. Is it unrest? Our God must be greater than yours. In either case, it's persecution that has caused this man to thirst after his God. And now we take it back to the original application. Then the psalmist is probably describing a deer that is being chased by a predator. Now, I've never seen a deer pant before. Maybe you have. But I've seen other animals pant. And remember hearing the story of a deer that was being chased by a wolverine for miles. A preacher was up in an airplane and they saw a wolverine chasing a deer. And the preacher said to the pilot, that wolverine has no chance. And the pilot says, oh, you have no clue. The deer has no chance. That wolverine will never give up until its victim is in its mouth. And he said, no way. The deer would just run a great distance ahead and stop, but start to pant and just tear ahead another 100 yards and pant. And all the while, the wolverine was keeping at an even pace, not even off its beat. And after a while, the deer was just exhausted and could go no longer. And the end was inevitable. I've seen dogs pant for water. In other words, the Lord has used the oppression of the enemy, verses 9 and 10. He's used seasons of silence from God. He's used depression. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He's used divine chastening. All thy waves and thy billows are over me. The Lord has used circumstances to whet the appetite, the thirst of believers. If we're groping for other things to satisfy our needs, the Lord, in His jealousy and in His wisdom of knowing our need, is going to factor in these kinds of trials so that we might not find our satisfaction in other things. He loves us so much. He's jealous for our love. He's jealous for our worship. And He's concerned for our growth. And if we aren't going to have, may I say, a self to be careful when I say this. There needs to be self-motivation. We happen to be talking about this in our session meeting this morning. Brothers and sisters, you know, we do have the outside influence of one another and our parents, but at the end of the day, you're responsible for your hunger and thirst for God. And I can try to whet your appetite with a sermon, but I only preach to you 3 or 4 times a week. You're with God more than anyone, or your opportunity with God is going to be more than your opportunity with any of us to help you with your hunger and thirst. You and I are responsible to cultivate hunger and thirst for God. And if He sees that we're not doing that naturally and voluntarily in His grace and in His pity and in His jealousy, He will stir up our lives. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy commandments. Despise not Thou the chastening of the Lord, nor be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even a son whom his father delights in. God will allow a wolverine to chase us, as it were, a predator. He will allow some annoying, persecuting person in our life to prod us to the Lord. He will allow, He will be silent at times. But remember, brother and sister, He's the Son of righteousness. Whether there are clouds that block the sun or whether it's blue skies, He's the same God. Don't mistake the clouds as a frown of God. He loves us with an everlasting love. But the clouds are for us to appreciate when there are none. To appreciate His glory. But there are times that He is silent. Why hast Thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Where the Lord will remain at a distance. Do you really need me? Do you not sense how frail you are? Go ahead. Has He not done this with believers? Go ahead. Try to find your satisfaction in temporal things. Go ahead. Hasn't He done this before? Doesn't it say with Israel that He gave them the satisfaction of their flesh, but their soul, and I'm paraphrasing, their soul was lean. Backslider shall be filled with his own ways. And that's, we don't want that. But the righteous man will be satisfied from himself. We've known too much what it is. Isn't the writer that said a very similar thing that we sang about earlier in 472? If I'm not mistaken here. Of course, Jeremiah talked about they have forsaken the fountain of living waters for broken cisterns that cannot satisfy. But Cowper said, the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from Thy throne and worship only Thee. What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memories still, but they have left an aching void the world can never fill, and yet He was sought to fill it by the world, whatever that constitutes. Temporal things, even sometimes good things. Even, may I say this without giving the wrong impression, even quality time spent with family, if it supplants our communion with God, it can become an idol. Spouses can become idols, can they not? Children can become idols. Jobs, temporal things, even religious literature Do we thirst for God? The Lord will cause it. And may I sense there's an obligation against state there. There's an obligation for us to motivate ourselves before God in prayer to become thirsty for Him. To cry out, Lord, let me hunger and thirst for Thee. Don't let me be satisfied with anything else. Nothing can replace our communion with the living and true God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord will allow predators in our lives, so to speak. Enemies that oppress. He'll allow times of depression. He will bring seasons of silence. When we read the Bible, is God speaking to us? We say, yes, He is. But do we sense that? Or do we just read the print on the page? Sometimes the lack of hunger and thirst is self-inflicted. And the Lord begins to see that that hunger and thirst is lessening, He will give a provident affliction. Give us grace to feel our need of Him. We should thank God for the causes for hunger and thirst. We are naturally weak. We're finite. That's a cause in itself. Isn't it a wonderful revelation to us when we feel our need of God? It shows us we are human beings. We're creatures. He's the Creator. You know, He did not form us because He needed us. He wanted us. He didn't need us. We need Him. The question is, do we want Him? Some necessities are not necessarily wanted. We just engage in them. We imbibe them because they're necessities. You have to take medicine at times. It's not because you want to, but you need to. And to think that the Lord chose us because He wanted to love us and He wanted our love for Him. Same way with the angels. Chose to love us. We need to love Him. He is a need of ours. The cause of thirst. Oh God, help us to feel our need. Help us to sense our finiteness. The fact that we have been recipients of His saving grace. And therefore we need Him. Send us clouds and rain if need be. Is that a scare to us? Lord, send us clouds if we're not feeling our need of Thee. Are you willing to say, send sickness and pain? We sing that song, do we mean it? Send grief and pain if we begin to become apathetic and cold and self-satisfied. Don't bemoan the times of depression. When your soul is cast down within you, could the Lord just be causing us to reach the bottom so that we might be able then to look up? Something of an advantage to be at the lowest spot that you can be because you can't look any lower. We find the characterization of thirst. What is it? Okay, we can see the causes. But what is it? Whatever it is, it says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's a blessed experience. Oh, how happy you are. How envious you are if you're hungering and thirsting after God, the living God. We should not be jealous or envious or annoyed by Christians who have a hunger and thirst for God. We should ask, how do you obtain it? How do you become hungry and thirsty? How is it that you're perpetually hungry and thirsty for God? What's your secret? It's a blessing to have a felt need for the Lord. It's a blessing to cry out for God. It's a blessing to sigh when you're lacking a sense of His presence. Thank God that the communion with Him is continuing, that we have a daily need for Him. We should loathe apathy or idolatry or our depravity. He said in verse 2, what constitutes thirst? Lacking a communion with God, verse 2. He says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear?" In other words, the satisfaction of thirst is appearing before God, communing with Him, knowing that you're face to face with God. So, thirst is when you feel prayerless, and a need for more prayer, a lack of revelation. Others can't see the Lord in your life. People are saying, "Where is your God?" We're to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father. It should burden our hearts if people cannot see God in our works and in our lives. Others aren't convinced of our living God. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. When we're dull of covenant promises and when we're sad in the night seasons, then we have not been given a song in the night. Interrupted communion with the Lord, that characterizes thirst. When we're not as holy as we should be, When our love is at a low degree, that characterizes thirst. Thank God that one Bible reading a year is not enough. One prayer meeting a year isn't enough. One prayer closet a week isn't enough. We want more about Jesus, more of the living God. We were made to commune with the Lord. And when man sinned, we said, we don't need communion with God. Adam and Eve chose each other. They idolized each other. When Adam sinned, Eve had already sinned. And Adam chose to fall with her and to keep his relationship with her rather than to maintain his relationship with God. Eve was an idol of Adam's. Is the Lord your chief joy? Do you love Him with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength? He gave Himself for you. The Lord Jesus Christ loved you to give Himself for you. He didn't divert from that path to the cross. Because He had you in mind. He cared for you. Aren't you glad His love didn't wane? Aren't you glad He wasn't sidetracked by an idol? Aren't you glad that now He doesn't turn His back away from you? How many times have we turned our back away from Him? How many times have we turned a deaf ear to God, to God's preachers, to God's sermons, to God's words? Aren't you glad He doesn't turn His back when we pray? That He's there to forgive every time? Every time? The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful. That is, every time He is faithful to forgive our sins. And He's just. In other words, every time He forgives, He's righteous in doing it because He paid for every one of those sins. We have the cause of thirst, but we also can somewhat sense what that thirst is. I need the Lord. I'm lacking. I'm needing prayer. People can't see the Lord in my life. They aren't convinced of Him as the living God. His promises don't seem as precious anymore. Miracles don't seem miraculous. Threats don't seem fearful. Lost souls don't seem terrible to us anymore. Shouldn't there be then a desire to thirst, to hunger after God, that we might be concerned for sinners? I don't know about, doesn't it concern us when we can look at a lost soul and have no yearning for their salvation? When we can hear a message about the resurrection from the dead and not long for heaven? Maybe we should say that sickness rather than thirst. But a thirst for God to be more Christ-like, to be more worshipful, to be more wise and discerning. To be more vengeful of revenging our disobedience. To be more of an enemy of the devil and wicked people who seek to thwart the kingdom of God. The Bible gives us the quenching, the satisfaction of our thirst. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Bible tells us what is going to fill that thirst. So panteth my soul after Thee, O God, the divine person. My soul thirsteth for God. Notice how He repeats it. For the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He just emphasizes the person of the Lord over and over again. Hope thou in God. O God, my soul is cast down within me. The Lord will command His loving kindness. I will say unto God, my rock, hope thou in God, for I will yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Thou art the God of my strength. O send out Thy light and Thy truth. God, my exceeding joy, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. The divine being is the satisfaction of our thirst. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. His face, sensing Him, pondering His attributes, enjoying who He is, thanking Him for what He has done, recounting His works, of creation and providence and salvation and judgment. Just being taken up with the glory of the Lord. And He could even say that deep calleth unto deep. Though He felt that He was being submerged under the cataracts of God's judgments, yet through His persecution and His difficult circumstances, He felt that God was calling Him from the deep. He felt He was in the deep, and yet all the while He sensed that God was there. Remember Jonah. Jonah was thinking he was all the while sinking from God's presence, and yet he sensed that God was there. Because he knew it when God caused the fish to swallow him in the very spot he felt he was being separated from God. God was there. See, the Lord is jealous for your love. And He knows that nothing else can satisfy your soul that was made in His image and made to live forever. And we have invented toys and temporal things that we seek to fill and stuff our lives with that all really at the end of the day can sicken us if we aren't careful. And they have. What's an evidence that we're sick? We're worldly minded. We are apathetic. We become prayerless. Truth just slides off our backs like water off a duck's back. We can hear messages that others are moved by, and we're unmoved. We can cry at a very good film, but we can't cry when we hear a story of a lost soul coming to Christ, or someone that isn't coming to Christ that needs to. We can shed a tear all the time on television, with a television on or with a film on. We can't ever shed tears in church or in prayer closets or when we're talking to poor lost souls on the street corners or in stores. And we wonder, why is the Lord distancing Himself? We need Him. Remember the song the Solomon writer said, she felt it was winter time, prolonged winter time, and then the voice of my beloved, His face is in the lattice. She began to yearn for Him because she had felt His departure. And she felt it was self-inflicted. She needed a song in the night. She needed to hear His voice, to see His face, to sense His presence. And the means of God coming to the soul, the song in the night, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I will say unto God, my rock, when the Lord motivates prayer, when prayer is brought up into our soul, the need for prayer, when we begin to pour out our hearts to Him. Hope in God, self-encouragement. Notice, he says, I will say unto my soul. You know, there's a talking to yourself that is healthy. Why are you cast down? I get concerned if I hear someone repeatedly talking to himself, but here's a talking to self that's healthy. I shouldn't be discouraged. David encouraged himself, and the Lord is God. That's why I say at the end of the day, You're a preacher, an elder, a spouse can encourage you, but you've got to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Our young people, encourage yourself in the Lord your God. One sermon isn't going to do it. A devotional time in your home isn't going to carry you through the difficult paths in your life, the temptations and trials of the devil to make you satisfied in a world that is dying and perishing. The world passes away in the lust thereof. The devil wants to leave you laying by the wayside after trying to find satisfaction in lust and pride. And he uses and abuses you and laughs when he sees you cast by the side of the road. When he sees you fall away. Well, the devil has his heyday when Christians backslide. When the departures from the faith. Oh, he must have been laughing when Demas departed from Saul, having loved this present world. He must have rejoiced when he heard Peter deny the Lord three times. He loves to see believers forsaking the assembly of themselves together. He loves to see empty prayer closets. He hates to see people walking with God. But that's the joy of this life. Heaven is to behold His face. Does that interest you? Does that attract you? What am I going to do in heaven? The answer is, what am I not going to do in heaven? It's wholesome. Does it interest you to hear Christ teach and preach forever? To be able to sit at Jesus' feet and hear His words? That shall not be taken away from us. And a lot of things will be taken away from us. Money will be taken away, health, clothing, marriage. A lot of things are being taken away, but I'll tell you, one thing you're going to bring with you is what you've learned at Jesus' feet. What you've seen at Jesus' feet. Your view of God, your views of God through life are going to be taken with you. Your soul's conformity to Christ will be taken with you. You'll go to heaven exactly as you are in the sense, in the spiritual, you'll drop the sin. But you'll enter heaven glorified, but in the degree that you was wrought in you up until that point. Now, some people have this idea, oh, don't worry about it. Everybody will be in the same spiritual degree, the same spiritual conformity when we get to heaven. I'll be way behind, but when death comes, I'll catch up. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Oh, we have eternity to grow. But you take with you the degree of spirituality that was wrought in you in life. When you enter glory. The satisfaction of our thirst is the Lord Himself. He goes on to thank God. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him or thank Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. That's a means of satisfying the thirst, having a sense of being blessed and a beneficiary of God's goodness and grace to us. Thank God for the causes of thirst. Thank God when we thirst. We should be concerned when there is no hunger and thirst. Felt need, a longing, an intense desire for God. That's what thirst is. And thank God He will quench that thirst. You will be filled. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you confess your sins, I will forgive you. Is that not filling our thirst? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is that not filling your thirst? Beholding the glory of the Lord, you will be changed into His image. Is that not being filled? Being filled with the Spirit, is that not being filled? Is that not our thirst being quenched and our hunger being satisfied? Being used of God to point a soul heavenward, cannot we say, the Lord has given me a drink that I can be useful in this life? As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Thirst, Christian, thirst. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for this soul thirst for Thee. Lord, let us forget Thee. We thank Thee that our Lord Jesus came to earth to fulfill Your will. He had an intense desire to do Your will, to save our souls, to make atonement for us. His meat was to do Your will and to finish Your work. With desire, He desired to eat with His disciples. Oh, He had an intense craving to fulfill the work to save our rotten souls. Lord, I thank Thee that it pleases Thee to reveal Your glory to us and to commune with us and to bless us. O God, forgive our apathy and our idolatry. Revive us again. Lord, You have said to others, remember from whence you have fallen and repent and do the first works. You've left your first love. I thank Thee that there is forgiveness with Thee, that you might be feared, that there is the return of our first love, the return of the dove of the Spirit of God, as we sung earlier. Return, heavenly dove. Return, Holy Spirit, to our souls. Revive us. Forgive us where we have quenched and grieved Thee. Let us walk with God like Enoch did. Lord, let us find our satisfaction only in Thee. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. Give us a church, Lord, that hungers and thirsts after God and His righteousness. Please fill us. Bring others in, Lord, that have a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Give us families that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, we pray that we would not forget the truth that is being impressed upon our souls tonight. Don't let us stray from Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.